What's up, Beast Place? October 19th, 2020. I'm going to do best sports movies of all time. I was inspired, let's say, by an article I saw on Facebook. I just recently got back on Facebook. And if I feel like Facebook figures out what I want and gives me not that. You know how they're supposed to like figure out what you like and give you more of that? It's like I stop on certain people's profiles. I look at their stuff. They're like constant. And then every time I do that, it's like Facebook goes, oh, he likes this. No. Try this other thing. And it feels like my feed is mostly ads now. But anyways, and then people like, I don't know if this is fake or not, but it looks like it's from a friend, but it's when you, it's like they're liking something or I don't know. Anyway, top whatever sports movies of all time. I may not just stop at 10 and in no particular order. I'm not going to sit here and try to figure out if like Hoosiers is better than Major League. You know, I don't want to do that. So I'm just 10. So one, Hoosiers. It's not generally, it's a little bit too dramatic for me. I dislike dramas. I don't want, or not dramas. I dislike, it's not even tragedies, but just like if it's too dark, I don't really want to see it. And Hoosiers always makes me think of like, I know the guy just punched a player, but something about like, it was weird. Like those kids were being molested or something. I know it has nothing to do with the story. It's great. It is like a fantastic, like David versus Goliath type thing. It was in a world where a coach could make that kind of difference. I think the world has moved, the model is moving, even in NFL, is just the athlete. How much talent can you bring together? How many like super .001%ers can you get on your team? Because they're so rare. Think about the rarity of a good NFL quarterback. Most of the starting quarterbacks in the NFL are not good at it. It's a weird thing to say. 32 teams, 32 starting quarterbacks, any given Sunday. Of those 32, I don't know that I'm going to include possibly over-the-hill guys, but like Brady, Breeze, Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, the guy from the Chiefs, name escapes me right now. The dude at Houston, I got six that really come to mind, like really just come out there. Cam Newton's doing all right at New England, but you know what I'm saying? Like I could think of six good ones out of 32. Most of them just aren't. It's something that's so difficult that you're talking about like. It's, you know, six in 300 million, so it's only Americans really play the sport. You're talking about one every 50 million, whatever percentage that is. And on top of that, I mean, yeah, there's Tua and Joe Burrows that are potentially going to be good. You never know. The guy from the Rams isn't bad. The dude on the Eagles isn't bad. Now I'm at 10. Most of these quarterbacks just aren't going to get it. When I was a kid, you know, playing Little League, the coach makes a lot of difference. You know, my nephew plays Little League football, and the parents are like, well, their team sucks because there's no black dudes on the team because he lives in like a, because they're done by sections of town, and he lives in like the white section of town or whatever. But that's not it. That's not it at all. It's a lot of it's coaching style. The problem isn't white players. It's white coaches. They can't. I think that black coaches at the Little League level are just better at it because it requires a level of brutality white people are no longer capable of doing. When I was a kid, I had an Italian coach and a like blonde assistant coach, and those guys were able to extract what you have to in that sport. You have to use a level of brutality on the players that's unacceptable in today's society. Anyway, Hoosiers is like the coach comes in, and yeah, they have a star player. They have this guy that's like big, like Larry Bird, big hit. And actually, more apropos, Stephen Curry. They had like the Steph Curry guy. And so it's one of the best movies of all time. Two, Major League. Not only a good sports movie, a good, you know, so these movies are obviously all good. It's just they're sports related. Not good for a sports movie. I think Major League is probably one of the best comedies ever made. You know, F you, Joe Boo, I do it myself. All that. It's just, that's the guy from the Allstate ads, by the way. It's Charlie Sheen is probably at his like comic best. It's got, it mocks this baseball as a holy endeavor thing that just kind of annoys me. Kind of like Field of Dreams, not included on this list. It has, I know there's this great thing about him coming here with his father. I get that. I feel that. I have the same problem with my dad. I just think it's like, you know, the one thing in America, baseball. It's like, dude, please. Major League kind of throws it out the window and goes, this is a ridiculous sport. Here's how it's ridiculous. Bob Uecker is tremendous. Tom Berenger is amazing. Corbin Burnson, probably his best role ever. This is coming from a guy that was like a superstar 80s, 90s TV actor. I mean, it's just amazing. It's sort of like also like a Bad News Bears type movie, you know? Coming to number three, Bad News Bears. It's also a baseball movie, but now it's about little leaguers. And it's just sort of funny because obviously it's an exaggeration. You know, like the coach drinks during the practices and they're wearing blue jeans and stuff. And I'm going to say something about that movie. Things used to kind of be like that, sort of. Sometimes your coach would smoke. Now, I never had a little league coach that smoked cigarettes or drank on the sideline. I do sometimes think that my football coach dipped, but it was never apparent. It's just some of the mannerisms, and it's just now that I'm thinking about like the things he would just like, I was constantly doing things with his tongue and whatnot. But our American world has become, and I think Western Europe lags, but it follows. It becomes more and more like, there's more and more safety rails put everywhere. The more knowledge we have, the more dangers we identify, the bigger wussies we become. Some make sense, seatbelts. Some, you know, you should wear a helmet on a motorcycle, but you shouldn't be forced to. Case in point, 1989, I went and I spent the summer in Paris, France. One of the things I did, I went to this place called Sacré-Cœur, it means Sacred Heart. It's this white church. You've seen it in movies, I'm sure. If you've watched any TV, you've seen this thing. It's set in Paris. It's on top of a place called Montmartre, which is like possibly the nicest, most tourist-friendly area in France. Narrow streets. It's real old. You know, it's like where Salvador Dali and don't know who that is, Google it. Other artists, especially in the 1920s, you know, they talk about the Left Bank and all that. But this is another like sort of artist hole. It's full of like hyper frou-frou. It's like, think of like the Lower Upper East Sides, like that sort of thing. It's like that in Paris. A lot of cute restaurants, that sort of thing. It'd be a great place to go to do a pub crawl. I never did. I was 13. I went back in 2007 as an adult, but I spent most of my time at High Point places. Like, and I did do a pub crawl then, and I went with my girlfriend in 2009, and then we really were hitting High Points. We ran through that place. I think we had lunch somewhere. Anyway, this is a giant white church built in the 1800s. And at the time, in 1989, I just started going up. They didn't close anything off. I ended up on the roof with no sign saying, don't go here, no locked door, no closed doors. I never went through a closed door, a locked door, or jumped a railing, anything like that. And I'm walking around on the roof. I tried it again in 07. And they had like guardrails up. And there's some places you can kind of go walk up there because there's things you can't see except for, but there's like all guardrailed up. So, you know, Bad News Bears kind of look back at that. Varsity Blues. Varsity Blues is a joke version of Friday Night Lights. Okay, it's got this kind of dramatic piece to it. It's the same story. Quarterback gets hurt, second string guy moves up, except, and there are parent issues and stuff like that, but it's made to be funny and fun. Like, it's a comedy about idiot teenagers. And it's really the closest thing I've seen to my high school experience. Because I definitely didn't do Breakfast Club or 16 Candles, or although a sophomore, when I was a senior, a sophomore definitely tried to date me. I mean, so aggressively. And where was I? What's another one? Some Kind of Wonderful, sort of not me. So anyway, it's just a fun version of it, but it throws in elements that would be considered more like dramatic, but it keeps a light edge. And it was pretty, I thought it was pretty realistic as far as like what happens when teenagers would like parents aren't looking. The movie Kids, actually, they made it seem like really effed up, but really it was kind of, it was in some ways spot on. It was a bit extreme, but in some ways spot on. Same thing with Varsity Blues. It's like a fun version of it. Rocky IV. Notice I didn't say Rocky. Rocky II, Rocky III, Rocky V, Balboa, Rocky Balboa, or Creed. I think this is the best one of that series. As a series, it's one of the best sports series, if not the best. It's got everything in it. The first one is Oscar bait. It's like this, like, real heart-wrenching human drama type thing. And it mutates finally into Rocky IV, which where my buddy Rambo described as a two-hour-long music video, which I think is probably correct. There's nothing like watching the two scenes, you know, like the final montage before the fight where Rocky's like, Rocky's exercise is like carry a log on your back up a hill in 1 foot deep, like fresh powder snow. It's like Jim Jones. And then you see Ivan Drago taking steroids and working like machines. It's like, you know, hilarious difference. And it had this whole America versus communism vibe where America sort of defeats communism, but we come together as brothers. Too bad that didn't really happen, but it would have been a nice sort of story of itself. Caddyshack, one of the funniest movies of all time, much like Major League. I think this movie would make a comedy best of list. Varsity Blues would not. There's so much. It's one of the most quotable movies of all time, and it makes me sad that sooner or later it's going to be forgotten, just like any movie. But I would highly recommend Caddyshack to anyone. If you haven't seen it, or you haven't seen it, or you saw it once, there's a lot of dead space, but it's mostly like just vignette after vignette, and the characters themselves are fantastic. Bill Murray plays this like utterly strange greenskeeper's assistant. The greenskeeper is a Scottish guy. You barely understand what he says. You kill the gophers. What if we kill the... I mean, can't understand the boss. Lives on the course, like in the shed. It's great. Chevy Chase as Ty Webb, which is just like just strange nonsense. It's like a walking Far Side cartoon. I think his name is Ted Knight as Judge Smales. It's just like they're just caricature after caricature. There's a scene where the bad guy's nephews at trying to order food before they're about to go yachting. They're like, so this WASP stereotype. And he goes, I'll have some fries and some pizza and a Coke and a burger. And the guy, the grandfather looks at him and goes, you'll get nothing and like it. Now, I butchered it, but it's great. Or Ty Webb's Be the Ball. No, 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 no. There's all this like spiritual mumbo jumbo like weaved into it. There's nudity. At least two chicks get naked, which is always good. You don't see that anymore. Why? Because it used to be they would do that at theaters to kind of get you like, oh, I'm going to get to see naked chicks. But you don't, or sex. But you don't do that anymore because, or romance, because of porn. It's just totally like, yeah, that's been covered. No one's going to care if there's nudity or whatever in this movie anymore like they used to. Like a movie like Hard Bodies is just pure like, hey, afraid to go buy yourself some real porn? Here you go. Here's Hard Bodies. Yeah. 7. I'll put up what I'm not specifically not going to put in here. Remember the Titans. One of my wife's favorite movies. It's all right. It's a little weird. You know, it'd be weird. You think about some of the things they do is like, hey, you know, it's trying to like talk about during the integration period where people were very unhappy about it on both sides, and trying to show how the players make the best of it. It would be a little weird to, like, you're going to room with, like, a white guy. I'm going to force you to room with a black guy. That part I always found was, like, a little strange. And some of these people were such caricatures. You know, like, the country music guy playing. Yep. All right. But whatever. It's whatever it is. I just not huge on my hierarchy. Happy Gilmore, however, makes the list. You're like, but that's not really a sports movie. It's an Adam Sandler movie. Like, yeah, I know. It's just a vehicle for him to, like, spaz. But it revolves around golf. It's got a golfer with, like, a fake wooden hand. I mean, come on, dude. He kills the gator. It's just, there's nothing wrong to say about it. At least that I can sort of think about. Victory. Now, this is a bit more pulling out of the, it's a little pretentious and pulling out of the arcane, but I've seen it. It's a movie about these guys decide they're going to, there's like these POWs in World War II are playing a soccer game at a, like in a huge stadium against the guards. And they find out that they can like collapse like a showers or something in their locker room. They can like escape. And I don't remember the details precisely, but I remember, and then they sit there and they go, should we escape or should we go out and play the guards? Because they were winning. It's kind of weird, like, no, you want to escape. Like, you must be crazy to not want to escape. However, you know, escaping from POW camps in World War II Germany did not have a high success rate. There's a movie called The Great Escape where a bunch of dudes managed to get out of it's an Air Force one. Well, I guess they did it by, you know, branch. Air Force POW camp. And I think, like, almost all of them got captured eventually. Like, how are you going to hide? Where are you going to stay? You know, you walk into a hotel, and that hotel person called the cops. Like, hey, there's a... Can you imagine being at war with, you know, like... You know, this is... I don't know what I would... I would try to escape if I were them. If you don't want to stay in a POW camp, you'd probably end up dead. Even if it's a nice POW camp, a lot of Germans died over in the United States because Americans would ship the Germans to the United States. There's no escape, right? Yeah. That's a kind of a weird aside. Pumping iron. All right. Bodybuilding is a sport because it's physical. It's kind of weird because it's like a, because, you know, it's, you'd say it's not, well, how is it a sport if they're out there, they're judges? Gymnastics has judges. Watching Arnold, like, basically, if you remember this term, AMOG dudes, including, like, Lou Ferrigno, he just gets inside people's heads, and it's funny to watch him just, like, eat up these dudes, just like, oh, you're Lou Ferrigno? Whatever, dude, I'm gonna sit here and mess with you. Like, he tells stories about how he would give people bad advice, and, you know, which made me, like, after seeing that movie, I was like, should I really listen to what he said in Encyclopedia Modern Bodybuilding? Because maybe he's like, can't help himself. So some people just can't help themselves even after it's all over. He wrote that book, I think, after it was like, till he was done in his thing. So is he like, is it for real, or is he really, you know, sort of doing this? The next movie is similar idea. It's really a series of movies. It's the documentaries made about the CrossFit Games. I think the first one was about a specific athlete, and then they went into just covering like the top five on the male and female side. So it's not like so much one in particular. They're all pretty much the same. Once they get into the where they don't focus on just one person, they're very similar. I don't do CrossFit. I don't like it. I don't like some of the concepts of it. I don't, the whole thing where people get weirdly cultish about it, all that turns me off about it. I understand that if you do it incorrectly, even a little, or you're going to basically wreck yourself. I actually personally know someone that got Rambo dials. The thing you get from overtraining to that extent. How do you get to that level of overtraining? I mean, you'd be waking up with your heart pounding out of your chest like every morning. I don't know how that happens. But it's fun to watch these things. It's fun to watch these people. Some of these women are so jacked. They're more like, they're so jacked. These women are so jacked that I would say that there's no way they're not. Like, they talk about it in the show. And some dude, like, gets nabbed. But, dude, these girls are just way too... They got, like, big abs. It's almost as if the dudes aren't and the females are. And again, like, some there are a lot of, like, do I look like I'm on steroids? Well, here's the thing. The steroids don't just, like, do something to you. You have to, like, exercise. It just helps you recover. Most of them, that's what they're doing. And so, the basic steroid being testosterone, right? So, you know, you might even not, you might be juicing, but not have it appear to be juicing. Like, if you take small enough amounts, so you're already, like a 1%er type for how much test you have, and then you just add, like, a little bit at the end to put you in, like, but you stay within, like, the realm, right? So you could keep your blood serum levels to look normal while you're juicing, and then it wouldn't be apparent. I don't know. I can't say for sure, but it seems like it to me based on some of these guys' workouts were just too, it was too much. There's no way you should be able to do that much. You know, like, I remember in the first documentary, the guy talks about how he does, always does the, what he called, like, the either generic or mainstream or, like, normie workout. So the thing that comes up on as the WOD on the website, he'll do that. And then they'll do another one or two CrossFit style workouts. Then they'll have lifting sessions, swim sessions, because he, like, as he was doing, it showed this guy's story, and as he kept doing more of these, he did a CrossFit Games. He was great. The guy was just like CrossFitting and doing a little bit of extra endurance and sort of lifting exercises. And then, like, power, because you need to be able to power lift to win at this thing. And so he shows up and they have to swim. Suddenly he can't swim. So he goes and swims. And then the next year after that, they put in a rope. He doesn't know how to climb a rope. So he's just going hand over hand. And that's fine. You can do it. I used to be able to climb up and down a rope hand over hand, no problem. The issue is when you get tired. Like, I remember at OCS being told, like, dude, that's all fine and good, but you're not going to be able to sustain that level of, exertion throughout. So you need to learn how to properly do it. You basically use your feet and it becomes more of like a air squat. And it's only like five to get up